want to start out. I'm a little bit slower on the reading part, so I'm going to ask Sister Evelyn if she'll read a scripture or two there I'd written out. We've written out that I wanted to use as an example.
It's out of Romans 12, 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
Love must be without hypocrisy. What is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another with mature love, showing eagerness in honoring one another.
No, I started out using an example upstairs on being blessed to have my natural father all of my life. And the reason for that is because he was able to set a standard for me on the proper way of respecting one another, the proper way of understanding certain things in the natural. But I was more blessed after I gave my life to the Lord to learn his ways of being laid out before me, how to walk and to be in that example on knowing the correct way in the spirit. You know, our Father has laid so many principles out for us. It's like I like the example I used that I taught my sons growing up how to respect folks in the natural. You know, with yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and all those kind of things. Because we have slipped away from our standards of life. We have got to where kids just mouth off at adults, no respect, and that's because of what's ruling and leading us now in the world standard of today. You know, we got an example where we can look out through the land and we can see how the enemy is gaining ground. Because over the years, we have let things lay back and just kind of let it win. You know, you see so many examples where we got so many kids growing up now in homes with one parent. And, you know, we used to think that was a bad thing. One parent in a home. Why? Because our original foundation gave us a layout on how things properly should have been laid, how things supposed to go. But over the years, we have let these things win. And people's got where they didn't cry out no more. Churches got less and less of a standard, less and less of a foundation to how the proper order is supposed to be laid out. And we look at these things and we wonder why. Because most people have left their war cry and crying out and hearing what the Father had for us. Most people have got away from that still small voice that we learned to hear from in the Bible. One of our most important things in this is our prayer life and our time of devotions in the Word. So many of us got where we use TV or we use the preacher at church to be our standard when God's saying, I want a personal relationship with you so I can lead you and guide you in these matters. And we look back and say, well, why things falling apart? That's why things is falling apart, because we have dropped our standards. We have allowed our relationship to get thin when he wanted us to have our relationship deep in him. And it's only one way our relationship become deep in him. And I don't care if you're driving, washing dishes, at work. We are called to pray 24-7. A lot of people, well, I can't pray 24-7. That's because in our mind, we have said, oh, prayer is only when you're on your knees. But in order to be able to pray 24-7, it's just like me having a conversation with you. A lot of us have lost the idea that God is simple. He don't make this thing complicated. We make it complicated. And as we realize our cry, even if it's just to say, Lord, I pray that you bless Debbie today, that she have the words she need for that one she come in contact with. That's it. You don't have to, oh, you gotta set Debbie free. I think she's about. No, you don't have to do that. That's our mind saying we gotta do it. God is saying, talk to, hey, when you get up in the morning, ask me what color I want you to wear today. And you know what? As you do these little simple things, our relationship gets stronger and stronger. And before you know it, when you was only reading a minute in the Word, you're reading 5 minutes in the Word. You're reading 10 minutes. And you know why? Because God wants to touch each of us to have that warfare stirred up in us so we can get that hunger touch. Because, you know, it's like you get a little baby and you give them a little sugar the first time and their eyes light up. Wow. First time you hear from God and you know that you heard from God, your spiritual eyes go, wow, God spoke to me. And that's the same thing about getting in his word. So we know how to cry. So we know how to battle. You know why we know how to be strong and be a strong warrior? You know how we can be the one to change the atmosphere when we walk in a room? In his word. Because when you realize you read this scripture 1,000 times and all of a sudden you read that scripture because you're being obedient. If you be obedient and step into these things, it jumps out at you. Why? Because God just quickens something to you. When God quickens something to us, we know how to take that battle on. We know how to speak, and things go like this. Because they recognize authority in your life. If we don't have this authority, we won't take over this world. We have been called to set creation free. And that is a battle. But we cannot set creation free because so many of us have not chose to put the knowledge of Christ within ourselves. Do you know when you have the knowledge of Christ, it says in the word, my peoples perish for the lack of knowledge. In order for us to be these strong warriors, we must feed ourselves. I have never seen a strong man yet that didn't lift weights. In order for you to become strong in the spirit, to be able to step out and change the atmosphere, be able to take authority when a spirit step in your midst, Lord said, edify yourself. What do you mean edify yourself? You keep reading. Lord said for you to edify yourself, you look in the mirror and you prophesy to yourself. Those of you that speak in tongues, take time. Don't embarrass yourself. You're in the car, you by yourself, you cleaning the house, you at work, and you by speak in tongues, edify yourself. Build this spiritual man. If we don't build this spiritual man, we cannot be able to take over the strong man. And I tell you what, that's face reality. Satan's been around for millions of years, and he has learned every trick it is in the Bible to trick us up. Somebody hurt our feelings. Next thing you know, I'm going to another church. Somebody don't like the color we got on. Well, I ain't going around them no more. They didn't speak to me this morning. I've been accused of that because I'm kind of quiet. And I've been hurt too. That's face reality. A lot of times you get hurt in something, you go, I ain't doing that no more. I ain't saying nothing. It's like the enemy have came at me before, and it's just face reality. I'm black. I have been cussed at. I have been spit at. I've been kicked on. And you know how the enemy works? Every last one of them, I could have took them and mopped the floor with them. But my test was, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I'm better than this. Start speaking to myself to edify myself. Okay, Lord, I turned that cheek. Don't let them come back. But you know, we have to pass the test that we might be the one they come to and set them free one day. And I have had that. Me and Sister Evelyn had counseled a couple one time that was married. And we gave them the truth. And the man got all mad because he wanted to do a lot of things that wasn't God. They got divorced. He cussed us out. He went up one side, down the other side, and this and that. And we said, okay, pray for you. We forgave him. Years later, about 3 years later, he called us up out of the blue and apologized and said he was wrong. But if I had gave him a piece of my mind, or if I had to push him in the corner and say, don't you talk to us like that, he would have never called. But he finally told Sister Up, he repented. And the first thing God told him, now you need to go apologize to the glasses. But if we haven't chose to step into God's word, to step our relationship up in prayer, we would have made the wrong mistakes. So each of us have opportunity to forgive those that have trespassed, have tripped us, has kicked us, has spit on us, and called us all kind of names. If we don't learn to do those things, we won't be the one they come back to and apologize or come to and say, please pray for me. I realize you was telling me the truth. Now I'm wrong. Now, that's not the opportunity to say, I knew you was wrong. I tried to tell you. No, that's the time you pray for him. And that's the time you praise God and you thank him for having the opportunity to walk in his shoes. Because we have the right to get upset. We have the right to knock him upside the head. Just like Jesus did when he went in there. He said, hey, this is my Father's house, and y'all have made it. That's right. That's right. Say it louder. A den of thieves. It's times that we have the right to walk in and stand up, but you know, when we know that right, it's the best timing. As we build our relationship and as we get stronger spiritually, we can hear clear. But in your beginning stages, it's better to be quiet and wait on the Lord. Lord said, humble yourself and listen to that still, small voice. And it's in each of us. It's not a one us in here. I don't care how many times you've said, God, don't speak to me. You just have not strengthened yourself enough spiritually yet to hear that voice. Because what happens is, the first time you start hearing that voice, and the second time you start hearing that voice, and the third time you start hearing it, all of a sudden you start realizing, that's my Father speaking to me. Because see, he sent each of us a comforter to magnify his word in us. But we got to strengthen that spiritual man within us. We got to get in his word to know what he's saying. Start at the beginning, and as you grow, he'll tell you what scripture to open up to. That's teaching you how to get in this war cry. That's teaching you how to be obedient to what he's speaking to us. Because see, we cannot change this atmosphere out here. Creation crying for deliverance. But peoples, until we set this part of creation free, we cannot set creation free out here. And believe me, God is waiting on the sons of God to rise up and take their proper place. You think Sister Nancy's doing it because somebody gave her $100 and said, go preach? No, God spoke to her. And God is waiting for each of us to say, Lord, here am I, send me. And you know what? Sending me might be to somebody I'm working with. It might be my neighbor. It might be my wife. It might be my husband. Sometimes what God is telling us to do is listen. Be quiet. So we can hear the cry of the other one. And then listen to hear when he say, okay, now you have the answer. You may hear something today, and weeks might go by, then all of a sudden is you might walk up to another one and say, God told me to tell you he loves you. And that sounds like simple words, but you can always see it in their face when they receive it. And you know, it always blessed me when I get a word from the Lord and I give it to somebody and they break and cry. And I ain't saying they always got to cry, but you know, it blesses you to an overwhelming point. You know, I had a word. I'm just as blessed. Stay as blessed that God was able to use me to speak to them. Because it's nothing like a reward of your spirit rising up. And you knowing that you put your flesh down to hear what God is saying. Because God don't want us to be another one of those Christians. You know why people say there's another one of those Christians? Because they have not exercised. They have not chose to keep themselves before the Lord. And that ain't saying you cannot have fun. That ain't saying you can't even look at TV. That is saying you got to learn to turn off things to hear the right thing. That's our Creator. Because our Creator, He wants us to be that bright sun. He wants us to walk in a room when everybody else thought it was cold and they go, wow, this room just lit up. And that's you changing the atmosphere. See, we will set creation free, but we got to press hard. And these comforts is great. But we don't have these every day, every week, every month. So we got to learn what we can from these comforts. And then we got to take them home and we got to apply them to our own selves to walk in this word that God has brought before us. And I guarantee you, if you take that opportunity to start praying when you wake up first thing in the morning, and when you get the chance, one day, every day, just open up and read His word. I don't care if you say, in the beginning it was light. Okay? In the beginning, Lord, it was light. I'm going to be light all day long. Let's walk up to one that's walking in darkness. And they go, I don't know what it is about you, but I really feel good when you're around. I have had people say, man, I don't know what it is about you, but when you walk in a room smiling, I always feel good when you come in the room. And one of my ministries is I drive truck. I'm up and down the road. I talk to all kind of people. It's cast out, down. I got one place I've been delivering to for 30 years. One guy told another guy, he said, man, you having problems with your marriage? You should talk to Lewis. Now, get ready. He's going to talk about Jesus. That's right. Is it enough evidence for people to say on your job site or people to know you say, they're Christian? Or, I don't know, but he sounds good. See, we should have enough evidence just in our daily walk. That don't mean we run around singing Christian songs all day long. That don't mean we run around saying, you should stop doing that and repent and turn from your wicked ways. Hey, it's a good thing. But we don't have to do it. We can just have a standard about us that so speak holiness, the natural man out there can say, I don't know what it is about them, but something's good about them. And the more they say something good about them, eventually they're going to say, he must be a Christian. He must know God. She must be a Christian. She must know God. But that's why in this warfare, we got to strengthen this spiritual man. We got to pray. And all that is our relationship communicating with God. Say, Lord, I don't know how to do this, but help me do this right. I remember the first time I got to share a testimony. I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how to say this, but let me say this in a way they understand. Everybody was blessed. But see, you know why? I took it out of Lewis' pocket and I put it in God's hand. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to put it in His hands so He can show up and show out. God wants to show out on you. He wants you to say, wow, yeah, that's one of them. That's right. God don't want to get us up there and embarrass us. He don't want to say, they don't know nothing. They think they know something. But when you put it in His hand, even when you don't know the word, He'll speak words through you that you didn't know where it come from. Then one day you, ooh, I said that. Ooh, God spoke that through me. Ooh, that's learning. Depend on Him. Now, it's nothing wrong with book knowledge. Don't get me wrong. I ain't saying you're too smart to know God. What I'm saying is trust God. So He can take your book knowledge. He can take your test. He can take your example and He can use it and use it and use it. I don't care if you share the same thing 1,000 times. But guess what? God has a way of dealing with the same problem thousands of times. The same problem. The only reason you're going to find out is you let him do it through you. It's like I told you how I taught my kids how to dress, how to respect. Right now, to this day, my youngest son, 29 years old, 34,
youngest one,
29,
yeah.
You had him. No, I was interested. No. But, you know, it's great. My oldest son, 34 years old, and they have great respect. To this day, they don't walk around there like, and do you know where this pants thing hanging down their backside come from? Prison. Originally, the gay guys in prison wore their pants down, which means they was available. Now, why would you want to be recognized with the pit? But see, most people don't research and I go, oh, that's the cool way to be. I tell them, I said, did you know where that originally come from? I didn't know that. But a lot of people don't research that now. So there's something if you want to give it to one of them. It's like my one son told me, he said, if you go around my dad like that, he's going to give you a wedgie. Because he'll grab your pants and pull you up. If they respect me, I won't mess with the idiots. But, you know, sometimes you can get away with certain things when people get to know you over the years. It's like our house, when our kids was growing up, it would be nothing to go downstairs. And there was boys laying everywhere. Elvin's on the phone. Yeah, your son stayed here last night. Oh, he stayed here last night. And she feeding them all and stuff. But what they realize, you don't cuss around this house. You don't use foul language. You don't talk to the other crud. Because Mr. Glass and Mrs. Glass would not put up with that. You know, I think about, I said, examples I had in my life. My grandmother died this year. I couldn't even afford to go home to the funeral. But she was 96 years old. She knew the Lord. I remember the first time my auntie said, doo-doo. My grandmother, boom! It was no second thought. It just slapped her in the mouth. You know, a lot of us now, we don't think none of it. You know? We're standing there. Well, you shouldn't say those things. But, you know, I ain't saying you got to beat somebody. But I'm saying is, if you allow them to see the Christ nature in you, they'll be just like the guys that was working on the house that used to be little kids, got construction. Oh, Mrs. Glass, I'm sorry they was cussing downstairs. She didn't hear it. But out of respect, they came up to apologize. He said, I won't let them talk like that again in your house. See, your nature is supposed to demand respect. I have had people cuss in front of me and say, oh, I'm sorry I said that. Didn't know I was a Christian yet, but they recognized it was something in me they needed to respect. You cannot get that if you don't. Exercise. For our standards will change. Our atmosphere will change. We will cause those around us to want to rise up. Something better than they have. It's like when Jesus went in there and he was tearing that all up, like I said. He was watching the nature. He was hearing from the Father, taking control of that which is crud and changing it and letting them realize God do not want this in his house. And that's where your house is supposed to be. That's where your home is supposed to be. That's where your vehicle is supposed to be. And once you get those like that, your surroundings will become like that. We are what? A peculiar people, they say? I tell you, we are peculiar peoples because of the righteousness of Christ within us. We have been called to change everything. Oh, he woke. Went to sleep on. No, I'm that bored. Am I making sense? We are the peoples that will be the ones that cause this creation to rise up to a greater standard. When we look around us today And it's just to show you how strong the enemy work is coming on. You know, we looked at in the 60s where prayer got taken out of school. And we start seeing the standards drop down, down, down. Now we're seeing, and you know, you read Sodom and Gomorrah. Now you're seeing state after state after state falling over to gay rights. Now I tell you what. Our rights need to be rising up. Our beliefs is supposed to be strong enough now where we should be standing and screaming about the rights that we don't let come in. But I tell you what, how we can change this. We got to change it by our exercise, by our relationship. Why don't you read that other scripture for me real quick? Yep, I got it right here.
For we are his workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand, so we may do them.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That is it.
What was that? Oh, I'm sorry. Ephesians.
I ain't got my glasses. Ephesians
2:10.
Family, this is going to be a short class. Any questions? Any add-ons? We're good, because that's where I'm at. I must ask one question. Do everybody understand where I'm at? The stage we're on? What we've been called to? I think we have... The order has been laid out before us. And I think as long as we get obedient to this order God has laid out for us, and we take this opportunity to exercise and strengthen the spiritual man within us, we will be the ones who will be called peculiar peoples, because we will change the atmosphere around us. And little by little, we can take back this land. I believe we're the people that can sit here and stand here, and we can repent and turn from our wicked ways. Lord, forgive me for what I made of this. But Lord, help me make this be your choice, your direction. And I believe we can do it. I don't think it's too late. I think we can turn this tidal wave around, and we can change everything. But we first got to change it here. And we got to hear this cry war, and it's got to go out. And we will make a complete difference. It's little by little. God ain't saying we got to make a major change overnight. But we take this opportunity and allow Christ to build us. We're going to change these things. And it's going to start at your household. And it's going to start with your friends. It's going to start with your family members. And people's going to see a change. And the reason they see that change is because they're going to want that change in their own life. They're going to want to realize ISIS is not what's going to rule. It's Christ. ISIS think they're doing something. But I guarantee you, we have more power than they ever will ever have. And I got up in my church and I even testified. I said, I might be one of those that might get killed. But you know what? I'd rather die for the word of the Lord than to die standing for nothing. Standing for the glory of this world, it's nothing. But standing for the nature of Christ that manifests in me would cause me to be the strength in this war cry. And sister is here to bless us. Thank the Lord. I pray everybody was blessed with this.